Hi, I'm Maria S. I'm a compulsive overeater, recovering bulimic, restrictor, and 100-plus pounder. And I'm a liar. I'm a cheater. I'm a people pleaser, and many, many other things. I'm also a really good person. I think so, anyway. Those labels don't all sound real good. What a miracle that I can just be honest and tell you that. What a miracle that I'm even here in this room right now, besides the fact that my alarm didn't go off. But I come from an abusive background, and I learned at a very young age to do whatever it took to make the people around me happy. Just like many other people in the program, I thought that I was such a moral person and I put everybody else ahead of me. They were more important than me, always. I was a martyr too. And I did it because I thought I was responsible for everybody else's happiness. I was responsible for keeping peace in the family. I was responsible to keep the world turning, basically. I was God. That's what I thought, anyway. I'm not. I have learned so incredibly much in this program. To be able to sit here and tell you these things and not cringe and not turn red with shame. But to just say, I'm just a person who did my best to get along in life. But what I ended up with was kind of like chaos. I ended up with lying to people. I ended up in fear. I lived my life from a place of fear. Most decisions I made were based on fear. Most relationships I had were really one way. Friendships I had. I had, after I moved away from my family, I'm originally from California and we moved to Kentucky 28 years ago. And so I needed to make new friends. Well, I needed friends desperately. And so what did I do? I had to be whatever that other person needed. Now, I've been disabled with chronic pain. My back is in very bad shape and was on oral pain medicine for many, many years and heavy, heavy doses. And these friends that I would make typically were a mess. And emotionally, physically, spiritually, just like me. But I would go and take care of them. I would clean their house where my house wasn't clean. I would do whatever they needed to take care of them so that they wouldn't reject me and abandon me like everybody, I thought everybody else did. Fear. Two of those friends stole my pain medicine. Not an uncommon thing to hear of. I'm blessed that that is an addiction that is not an addiction that I took on. But being honest and telling the truth has changed my life. Admitting my wrongdoing and making amends. Not all have been perfect responses, perfect answers, and everything's fine and dandy from here on out. But every single one of them has been spoken in love and in truth. And I heard an expression once that when you hold on to a resentment, it's like you're taking poison thinking it'll make the other person sick. Well, I poisoned myself from a very, very young age. and continued to do so. And, you know, it's amazing how often the other person didn't even know I had a resentment against them, because I would never let them know that. I would still smile and love them and everything's fine and hunky-dory. Let's go on. Oh, let's go to lunch, you know. Meanwhile, I'm gossiping about them. I'm angry, so angry, but I didn't know it. I could not label my fears. I could not label my feelings. And I struggled with that for a long time, even after joining OA, because I'm 63 years old. I was about 59 when I did my first nine steps. And I've been stuffing down my feelings my entire life. I had a sponsor finally tell me, because it took me up to 2 weeks to realize that I was irritable, restless, or discontent. I couldn't tell you that. I thought that I was just on the most even keel, most even keeled person you've ever met. I'm not. So I ended up constantly asking myself, am I comfortable or uncomfortable? And that helped me recognize my feeling. And when I recognized my feelings, that helped me recognize when I was irritable, restless, and discontent. And when I recognized that, I got to recognize I had a resentment against someone. And it's amazing the things that I did when I had a resentment. Resentments gave me permission to behave in ways that I am shocked at. Here's an example. My sister-in-law was moving. Now, my sister-in-law spent most of her adult life living with my in-laws, her parents, my husband's parents, and they helped raise her kids. They gave her anything she wanted. She had money like crazy. And I came across a whole bunch of rolls of quarters. And here I am, and I've always prided myself on being very honest and very moral. Like if I would walk 5 miles to return a nickel that the store clerk gave me that I forgot, I didn't realize at the time. And I would bring that nickel back to her because she overpaid me. But I stole a couple of rolls of quarters for my sister-in-law. I didn't even need it. I had no clue why I was behaving in the way I was behaving. None. And yet I did this. So talk about not being comfortable in my own skin, not being comfortable with who I was. And when I admitted to my sister-in-law what I did, oh, I was so ashamed. But afterwards, she just kind of laughed at me. She laughed. And I said to her, I don't know why I did this. I didn't need it. And she said, oh, you don't need to do anything to make amends. I understand. She understood. You don't know my sister-in-law. She understood. And we've never agreed on a whole lot. I've never been very comfortable around her, mostly probably because I had resentments against her. But we bonded on a different level. I'm still not her best friend. We don't chat on the phone for hours and hours. But that discomfort, that dis-ease in her presence is gone. Wow. I know now, the last number of times I've been with her, you know, it's been a couple of years since I've done this, that I'm not uncomfortable in her presence anymore. I'm not gossiping about her. I'm not pointing out all her flaws and all her errors and being judgmental, because that's where I go when I feel threatened, when I feel uncomfortable, when I feel that someone might find something wrong with me. If they find something wrong with me, they're going to reject me and abandon me, and they'll tell everybody else. And the next thing you know, I'm going to be, you're going to laugh at this. I do it. It's called a fear train, where you follow the fears down the track. So if I make a mistake, someone's going to find out. And if they find out, then they're going to think that I'm a bad person. And if they think I'm a bad person, then they're going to reject me. And if they reject me, they're going to tell everybody else about me. And everybody's going to reject me. And if everybody rejects me because I'm such a bad person, God is going to reject me. And I am going to end up cold, naked, in a corner of hell, all alone. Now, I know that's bizarre, but that's where my mind takes me. I'm cold and naked in hell, not burning hot. And so that's where my fears take me. And I'm not afraid. I am not afraid. There, if I find that I'm resenting somebody and I'm feeling uncomfortable, I know that I need to spend some time looking at myself, not at them, because I've always gone right into judgment when I feel uncomfortable. I don't usually judge. I never thought myself as a judgmental person. That's my number one character defect, because I do it as a protection. And I don't have to do that anymore. When I do my inventory at the end of the day, I can feel peace. I don't have to hate myself. I don't have to reject and abandon myself, because I've been doing that for as long as I can remember. My relationships with others have changed. I have honest, open relationships. And I've walked away from some relationships because they were totally unhealthy and it was not a benefit to me or the other person. I am so incredibly grateful that I've learned that my higher power will help me through everything I need to go through. When I do the steps, when I work the steps, they're simple. It's not a hard thing to understand how to do the steps. It's not easy to do the steps. But it is on the path to freedom. Without doing the steps, I believe that I would be right back in the food. I believe that I would not be able to live with myself, because the truth is I hated myself. And for any mistake that I made, I beat myself up. I cried. I was devastated because I couldn't be human. I had a higher standard. I couldn't be an individual. I couldn't love myself. I didn't know how. I didn't know that I've spent a lifetime trying to be a good person, trying to do the right thing, trying to be okay. My earliest memory is 3 years old, and my dad grabbing my head and my sisters and banging them together, saying, maybe this will start you thinking. And he's called us other things. And so I've always been afraid of that happening. And I learned, as I said, I learned to please. I learned to put on a false front at a very young age. And I can be exactly who I am, wherever I am. Thank you, Cheryl. And I can allow other people to be exactly who they are. My mother is an amazing woman. Amazing. She is 87 years old. She just lost most of her eyesight. She's legally blind. She's teaching line dancing. She's 5'2", maybe 105 pounds. This woman has a joy of living. She really does. She doesn't talk about the past. She doesn't look at the past. But my mother is the most non-maternal person I've ever met. I would chase her around the house saying, I love you, Mom. I love you, Mom. I love you, Mom. And she'd backhand me, tell me to shut up. You know, I didn't hear an I love you back from my mom until I was 60. That's just not who she is. But every time I had interactions with her, I expected her to be different. I expected her to become someone that she wasn't. I expected her to tell me positive things about myself. When I had lost 200 pounds and I went out to California to visit her, my mom put her hands on my hips and said, wow, there's so much fat here. I don't have that kind of fat. That's my mom. That's my mom. And to expect her to suddenly say, Marie, I love you. You're one of my favorite children out of the seven children I have. Oh, Marie, you're good. Or Marie, you're doing good. Having that expectation of her only sets me up, because that's not who she is. Now, if she does say something like that, wow, I can love it and enjoy it and celebrate. But if she doesn't, and if she makes a comment about how my hair looks terrible, I can let it go, because that's my mom being my mom. And I can love her exactly as she is, where she is, and I can notice all the good things about her. What a gift. And that goes all through my relationships. In my life, I like to say, this is my wrap up that I like to say, my life before OA was black and white. I was over 350 pounds, bedridden and in a wheelchair, basically dying. It is like the Wizard of Oz when they open the door and everything's in color. I have stepped out into color and I am living my life for the first time. What a promise. What a blessing. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you very much.